Hello there, thanks for joining us on the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer, and we have a jam-packed show for you with three tournaments to preview. There's a star-studded lineup in Canada for the Canadian Open. We've got the rather intriguing Scandinavian pair. Is it called the Scandinavian pairs, Steve?
Scandinavian mixed, sorry.
Yes, that's right. So it's a mixed tournament for male and female golfers. We'll see who Steve fancies there. And then we've got the first of the intriguing, controversial LIV Golf Championship events taking place as well. So we'll tell you all about that, and hopefully Steve will tell you who is going to win. Before we look ahead, though, quick recap on last week and the memorial. Billy Horschel turned into a bit of a procession, Steve. Very, very authoritative victory by West Ham's most famous celebrity fan. He put it to bed, really, with two great rounds in the, you know, middle part of the tournament, didn't he? But I suppose the one thing there, Steve, is that although it won't do quite enough to get Horschel to that kind of top tier of golfers, it's his seventh tour win. He's another one. We keep talking about it on the show. They've got the cojones. They've got the mental tools to get the job done, haven't they? A good win, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was delighted for Billy Horschel. He's one of our favourites. Yeah, he's a great character. It was lovely seeing his kids run on the green at the end there, wasn't it? So, yeah, his daughter come out and said, "Did you win, Daddy? Did you win?" And, yeah, I thought it was one of the best celebrations of the season. And, yeah, he has to come onto our radar for the US Open now because, yeah, although he's got a humdrum majors record generally, he's clearly good enough to win majors, isn't he? That is such a tight, solid all-round game. He was fourth in the 2013 US Open. So maybe he's timed his run perfectly for a US Open bid.
Absolutely. Any other takeaways from that tournament?
I thought Sahith Theegala was the eye-catcher. He tied for fifth place on a really difficult track there. He's banked some decent checks this season. So, yeah, I think Theegala clearly here to stay.
Okay, mate. How are you? Sorry, I very rudely didn't do any pleasantries because you weren't on the show last week. You had a week off, didn't you? Did you enjoy yourself? How were Blossoms and the Killers?
Well, it was quite an eventful week all round, actually. Yeah, obviously, I zone out of betting on my weeks off, as you know. Yeah, try and clear the mind. But at the start of the week, I had an event, which was Blossoms followed by Killers. Yeah, that was fantastic. You know, I honestly was thinking about this. You couldn't put a price on that. Seeing that, pure joy in the face of my daughter. She was virtually crying with joy when Blossoms came.
Oh, lovely. Because she's more of a Blossoms fan, and you were worried that she might lose interest once the Killers came on. Was that the case or not?
She showed great stamina. Yeah. Mr. Brightside was blasting at half past 10, and she was still going strong. She had a little dip. They did 23 songs, the Killers. Good value for money. She had a little flat spot, but it's a massive success. Yeah, all credit to Blossoms and Killers.
And because she's very young, isn't she? Were your fellow concert goers nice to her? Did they give her plenty of space, not stand up in front of her, chuck buckets of urine over people? It's just, I think it goes on at these rock concerts, isn't it?
There was only about 80% full for Blossoms and then 100% full for Killers. She was the star of the show when Blossoms were on. You could see she was clearly the biggest fan in our section and going bananas. You couldn't put a price. I think it was worth about £1 million, that experience.
Oh, lovely. And
then at the end of the week, there was another big event. So I got invited to play at Wentworth.
Oh, wow.
On Thursday, I played at Wentworth. A Wentworth member invited me up there through Wayne Mardle. His mates were Wayne Mardle. And I got a lovely sunny day at Wentworth West Course.
Wow.
Justin Rose was putting on the practice green as I was teeing off on the first. Massive pressure tee shot on the first because, obviously, if you hook it really badly, I could have killed Justin Rose. But
How did you play?
I played all right. It was me and Hawaii 501 against the member and a scratch golfer. So it was a really tough match. We were in charge until the 12th green, and then I imploded on the 12th green. I got a bit twitchy on the green there, four putted, and that changed the complexion of the match, and we ended up being defeated. But
sounds like you had a great week off then.
Yeah, a lot more action packed than it normally is. Yeah, that's for sure.
Good man, excellent. Right then, so back to our little review of last week. So Horschel won in the Memorial, and then over in Germany, we had the Porsche European Open, which was what price was Calais Samuja going into the final? Because you're absolutely miles off it, wasn't he? And he came through with the proverbial wet sail, and everybody else just absolutely hit the wall, didn't they? Incredible stuff.
it was your classic smash and grab raid, wasn't it? You know, a Sunday 64, and then the leaders all wobbled. I mean, Victor Perez had a great chance and couldn't get it done. I mean, Samuja is 34 years of age. You know, he's not going to be a superstar, but yeah, those low grade DP World Tour events, they're wide open, aren't they? You know, anyone in the field can win them. So yeah, I'm not going to get excited about Kali Samuja. I might get excited about Richard Mansell though. He's the one I like. Yeah, I'm taking from that race. That's three top tens in four DP World Tour starts. Mansell clearly getting his act together now. Fantastic driver of the ball. So, yeah, I've got my eye on Mansell.
Okay, well, anyone who did take a chance with Samuja with 18 holes to go, congratulations, because you must have had an absolutely monster price there. Okay, great stuff. That was our little review of last week. Let's look ahead to this week, though, because, like I say, three tournaments, loads and loads of ground to cover. And we will start with the high-quality event of the week. It's the RBC Canadian Open. And here are Boyle Sports prices to whet your appetite. 10 places this week, which is fantastic news. 7-1, Scotty Scheffler. 8, Justin Thomas. 8, Rory McIlroy. 10, Cameron Smith. 11, Sam Burns. 14, Matt Fitzpatrick. 14, Shane Lowry. 16, Corey Connors. 18, Tony Finau. 20-1, Tyrrell Hatton, and 25 bars. So, Steve, really, really high quality tournament there. So tell us all about the venue.
St. George's Golf and Country Club, Toronto, Ontario. 7,014 yards, par 70, only three par fives. An old classic, tight, tree lined, undulating venue, thick, rough, slopey greens. It last hosted in 2010. Accuracy essential.
Okay, lovely stuff. And how many selections?
Three selections.
Righty-ho, lead on with your headliner.
Corey Connors, 16-1, getting 10 each-way places with Boyle Sports, 22-1 elsewhere with fewer each-way places. I think Connors is ready to make a huge impact in his National Open for the first time since the last Canadian Open. We haven't had one for 2 years due to COVID. Connors has gone up several levels in those last 2 years. His form figures, a good example is his form figures in the Masters since the last Canadian Open, 10-8-6. He's also finished third in the WGC match play since then, third in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, seventh in the Players' Championship. This is a player who now has become comfortable on leaderboards in elite events. I think he now approaches this tournament with confidence and excitement rather than the nerves which have held him back in the past. And on the performance at Muirfield Village last week, Connors could dominate from tee to green. He was superb last week at Muirfield Village. He opened and closed with a round of 69. He ended up in a share of 13th place, but he topped the approach play stats. He topped the greens in regulation stats. You've got accurate driver here, laser-like approaches. He's the perfect fit for St. George's. So, yeah, we need a half-decent week on and around the greens, and Corey Connors can delight his home fans.
Lovely stuff. Who else do you like?
Next best, Mackenzie Hughes, 40-1 with Boyle Sports, getting 10 each-way places, 75-1 available elsewhere, getting fewer places. Like Connors, a Canadian, looking to dazzle in front of supportive galleries this week. Hughes was 8th in the 2018 Canadian Open. He was outside the world's top 250 at that point. Much more established player now. He's even started performing in majors like Connors. He was 15th in the US Open last year. He was 6th in our Open last year. I think he's ready to contend for his national title. He finished 9th in the Wells Fargo Championship. Similar assignment to this a month ago. No disgrace in 37th place at Muirfield Village last week. He'll have to do it in a different way to Connors. You know, his short game class is how Hughes gets the job done. But I can see them both hanging tough on the leader one. And there's a secret weapon for Hughes this week. And it's Jace Walker, his caddy. Jace Walker won a prestigious amateur event at St. George's in 2009. Walker is a good player in his own right. Played on the Canadian Tour for a few years. He knows this track really well. Hughes was born in Ontario. He's extremely comfortable at the venue. They could be a dream team this week.
Pair of Canadians. And who else are you supplementing those with?
I'm going to make it a trio of Canadians. Yeah, we're going Canuck crazy this week. And we are Adam Hadwin is also going to be in the mix. 28-1 with Boyle Sports, getting 10 places. 40-1 available elsewhere with fewer each-way places. All three of my fancies are Canadians with one PGA Tour title to their name. They're all Tour champions. I think they can handle the pressure of this event. Hadwin's won twice on the Canadian Tour. He's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. And then he won that 2017 Valspar. Edged out Patrick Cantlay, showed a lot of bottle. He's twice played in the Presidents Cup. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Hadwin's got the minerals. Canada's desperate for a Canadian winner in this event. They haven't had one since 1954, I believe it is. Hadwin can handle that. He was 18th in the Memorial last week. Really tidy warm-up. That was his fifth top 20 of the year. So, yeah, I think the Canadians could be in for a joyous week.
Wow, excellent. Now let's talk about some of the market leaders. Which of those at the head of the market do you like the best, and which of those are you keenest to oppose?
It's a really good question. I think Sam Burns is the one I found hardest to resist. You know, he's elite now, absolutely no question. Won on his last start. I think, yeah, Burns and Shane Lowry are the ones I like at the top. I think Scheffler and Thomas will have eyes on next week. You know, Scheffler, you know, this track punishes inaccurate driving. That if he has got a weakness, it's that.
I was saying to a champ on the show last week that I back Burns. I think I got 60-1 for our open. Is that a defensible play, as Kevin Bulling would say?
Yeah, you should be on good terms with yourself.
Yeah, yeah. He's good, isn't he?
He's just fully established as a member of the elite. And yeah, he's the one that I found hardest to resist this week.
Lovely. Okay, should we turn our attention to the, what is it now? The Scandinavian mix. That's it.
Yeah, the Scandinavian mix.
Sounds like a cocktail, doesn't it? Yeah. I'll skim through the prices and then you can tell us all about it. Alex Noren heads the market. He's 9-1. And then we've got Maja Stark at 16. Alexander Bjork at 18. I should add, by the way, Ball Sports are offering 8 places on this event, so that's good. Lynn Grant is 20. Eduardo Molinari is 20. Romain Langasque is 22. Henrik Stenson, 22. Pia Babnik, 28. Ingrid Lindblad, 28. Johannes Vermeer, 28. John Catlin, 28. And it's 30 bar. So tell us all about it. What's the format? What's the all-important format?
Well, we've got 78 men, 78 women, and they're all playing off a level playing field apart from the tees. You know, obviously, the ladies go off the ladies' tees, men go off the men's tees. So we're at the North Course, Halmstad Golf Course, Tylösand, Sweden. It's a new venue for the DP World Tour. We did see it in the 2007 Solheim Cup. 6,909 yards for the men's, 5,940 yards for the women's. Last time, it was the inaugural Scandinavian mix last year. There was a 922-yard difference in the tees. This time, 969. It's probably not enough to change the complexion of the leaderboard. The men dominated last year. Only 2 women finished in the top 17. I expect that to be the case again this week. We've got a par 72.
Sexist.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't wish to come across as sexist, but yeah, the facts don't lie there. And we're on a par 72 with 4 par fives, plenty of wind and rain in the forecast. I think that the length of the males may prove decisive again.
How does it work, Steve, when you tee off? Because when is it? Say you're in 3 balls and 2 balls, and it's the female player's honour. Would she go first from the ladies' tee and then sort of duck while the men take their tee shots, how does it work? You know?
It's a good question. I think honour is honour. I think there are ways and means of doing that without injuring anyone. Yeah, I think honour remains, Your Honour.
Okay. Righty-ho. Okay, how many selections?
3 selections in this one.
3 here. And who are you going to go for your main tip?
We've actually got a three-pronged attack this week.
So we've three by three.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, lots of opportunities in doubles and trebles. I know I'm going to get excited about that at the end. But, the number one selection is Alexander Bjork. 18-1 getting 8 each-way places with Ball Sports. 22-1 elsewhere with fewer each-way places. Such a neat and tidy player. Finds fairways, putts well. Yeah, this is a short, fiddly layout in his home country. It's a golden chance for a second DP World Tour title. Last year, in the inaugural Scandinavian mix, Bjork closed with a 66 for 6th place.
Who won it last year?
Jonathan Caldwell, Northern Irish fella. Hasn't done much since, but Bjork and Caldwell, similar types of players. Yeah, Bjork relishes tests of long game precision. We've seen it in the Hong Kong Open. We've seen it in the French Open. Seen it at Valderrama. This week's track essentially goes through a forest. It's quite close to the sea, but you can't see the sea, you know, because the trees are so dense and thick. Yeah, that you can smell the sea, but you can't see it.
It sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound absolutely beautiful. You can smell. It says that it's a mixture of sea air and pine. You know,
it is
a heady. Yeah, if we ever strike it big, this is another one we need to go and play.
Along with what? Leopard Creek.
Leopard Creek and various.
What's the other one that we liked? We liked the sound of that where they played in South.
Oh, Peckhamwood. Peckhamwood.
Peckhamwood.
Yeah, we've got a long list of stuff to do, haven't we? When we strike it rich, and Alexander Bjork can help us strike it rich. Very easy to forget what he did in November, particularly for you who forget.
I can't remember what I did in November, so I've got no chance with Alexander Bjork. Go on. What did he do?
He was 2nd in the DP World Tour Championship, you know, an elite event. Only Colin Morikawa managed to beat him in the DP World Tour Championship.
Really?
Yeah. Phenomenal effort on a course that doesn't really play to his strengths. And in the last few weeks, he's shown that similar sort of form to that. 23rd in the Soudal Open, 7th in the Dutch Open, 25th last week in the European Open. It's all about Alexander Bjork.
You make a very good case. If I knew any Bjork tracks, I'd try and make some sort of pun about it, but I don't, unfortunately. Right then, who's the second tip?
Is she still around? I ain't seen her for a while.
I don't know. She's probably making fortunes off Spotify, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she would be, wouldn't we? Shouldn't she? The next one, you're going to love this, is another Swede. So Sebastian Söderberg can go well in his home country. 33-1 with Ball Sports getting 8 places, 40-1 getting fewer places. He's the 2019 European Masters champion. He won a big playoff. You might remember this one because it was so unusual. I think it was 5 or 6 players in it at Transnistria. Rory McIlroy was in that playoff.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So great guts from Söderberg come through that. And he must have thought he'd done enough for a second DP World Tour title a month ago. Nobody outscored him on the Sunday of the British Masters. He's sitting pretty in the clubhouse. And then Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen.
Yeah, I was on him, actually. I was on Söderberg. Yeah.
Oh, sickening he was. Well, yeah. You must have thought you won. He thought he won. Thunderbear finishes eagle birdie to pip Söderberg by a shot. So Söderberg, really unlucky loser at the Bell 3. But he got going again last time out. He's got over it. 5th place in the Dutch Open last time out. I think he thrives in his home country this week. He loves teeing up at home. He was 3rd in the 2015 Nordea Masters. He was 5th in the 2019 Scandinavian Invitation. He's won 3 times on the Nordic Golf League. And like Bjork, he seems to enjoy these tracks where they put a premium on finding fairways. Söderberg was 2nd in the Valderrama last year.
Okay. Are you going to go with another person from the same country as well this time? I mean, that would be weird.
I ruddy well am. This is not planned. This has just happened.
What are the chances?
Incredible. I've gone through the usual processes and I've ended up with 3 Canadians in the Canadian Open and 3 Swedes in the Scandinavian mix. And they've all got 1 tour title to their name. Yeah, it's incredible what's happened here, but it was unplanned and I'm excited by it. All three of my Swedish selections live within a 3-hour drive of the course. So they've had every chance to get to know this track, which is new to the circuit for virtually everyone in the field. And the third selection is Marcus Kinholt, 40-1 with Ball Sports getting 8 places, 50-1 available elsewhere, getting fewer places. A 25-year-old getting his career back on track. He's had issues with epilepsy, took some time away from the tour to get sorted out with that.
He's only 25.
Exactly. Stunned, wow. Isn't it? The baby-faced assassin. I mean, when he came on the tour, he was almost literally a baby. He's a prodigy, wasn't he? I mean, he led the Nordea Masters at the age of 18 for 2 rounds. He's been around for ages. Former world number 2 amateur. But he seems to have got over this epilepsy now. He's been back on tour for almost a year. And from February onwards, he's starting to look like the old Marcus Kinholt that we know and love. All that class from ages ago. Yeah, he won the 2019 British Masters. He was 2nd in the Nedbank Challenge that year as well. So, you know, if Kinholt was getting back to the form that he showed back then, you know, we've got a massive runner at a big price this week. And the signs are good. He won a Nordic Golf League event in February. He was 8th in the Kenya Open. He was 3rd in the Qatar Masters. And this track is just dreamy for him. So, 3-pronged attack on 3 Swedes.
Okay, then, and just very quickly before we move on to the LIV, how much attention did you pay to the market leader, Alex Noren? Was he close to getting tipped?
Great respect, because he's been on leaderboards, on PGA Tour leaderboards this year. Every chance, just unattractive odds. I can let him win at 9-1. He missed a cut in the Memorial and has had to travel from the Memorial. Just price for me. 9-1 doesn't do it for me. I prefer the others at juicy odds.
Okay, then, right. So, like I said at the start of the show, controversial, intriguing. It's the LIV Golf Championship. It's an 8 tournament event starting on Thursday in Centurion Club in St. Albans near London. Very, very controversial, backed by Saudi Arabia money. It has caused all sorts of rancor because some of the big players have been offered, well, big and small players have been offered absolutely fortunes to sign up. There's been threats of being banned from PGA and European tours if they do. So we've ended up with 48 players in the field, a mixture of superstars with the likes of Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson and Lee Westwood, and some absolute no marks who are all being forced to pay, or not forced, they're being offered a lot of money. So Yeah, it's obviously caused a lot of controversy. A lot of people think that that it's immoral what's going on, given the nature of the Saudi regime. But anyway, here we are. I'll do my best to talk you through the format. Like I said, it's 48 players. Somehow there's 12 teams. I'm not quite sure how that works. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so only 54 holes. It's a shotgun start, which means that they all go to a different tee at the same time, and then off they go. And thankfully for the players, there's no cut. Okay then, Steve, before we get your selections, I'll quickly rattle through Boyle Sports betting. Five places on this, and they go 7-2, Dustin Johnson, 9, Louis Oosthuizen, 9, Taylor Gooch, 12, Sergio Garcia, 16, Kevin Na, 18, Sam Horsfield, 20, Bernd Wiesberger, 22, Justin Harding, 25, Laurie Cantor, 25, Ian Poulter, 25, Matt Jones, 25, Scott Vincent, 25, Phil Mickelson, 28, Charles Schwartzel, 28, Lee Westwood, and 33, Barr. I wanted to go fairly deep down there just to give sweet spot viewers the chance to gauge the quality of the field. First of all, Steve, have I missed anything? What have I left out in terms of format and what have you?
I just think you need to linger on the point about the prize money, because last place in this no-cut event is $120,000. I mean, yeah, wow. you can see why it's attracting. Yeah, not that long ago, that was a first prize in a European Tour event, you know. So, I can see why players have been attracted by the money. We've got a $20 million prize pot, $4 million to the winner. The team event, we don't need to really worry about at this stage because there's no betting on it.
TV's important though, Steve, isn't it? I know it's on YouTube and I believe it's on something called Facebook. I'm told that on Wednesday they will be telling us all about various broadcasters, so it might pop up on one of those kind of lesser, potentially even a subscription channel in the UK and Ireland. We don't know, do we?
No, I think it's going to be YouTube live, and livegolf.com is another one. On livegolf.com, I think it's going to be live. I mean, I just look at these things purely as a punter. Yeah, that's my job. Nobody cares about what I think about anything else. And as a punter, this is good because you got the chart of each way trebles. Now you're gonna have three decent men's events, and in the eight times of the year when there's a live event on, you're gonna have each way trebles with three decent live men's events on. And the other thing I like about it is the shotgun start that you mentioned. I mean, I'm always on here banging on about draw bias, getting my knickers in a twist about draws bias, aren't I? Yeah, you can't get that with a shotgun start.
No,
so,
that's right.
It's they're going to be very fair events in that respect. So
isn't fair, Steve. £67 to go and watch these. I mean, that's a lot of money. Given how much they've got, I'm very surprised that they're charging people that much to get in, albeit... I know that if you go on, for instance, Lee Westwood's Twitter, he's tweeted out a promo code, so you can actually get in for nothing. So I think, you know, if you are planning to go to Century and try and find a discounted code, don't go up and spend £67, because that's shocking value, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they've hit the panic button a little bit, haven't they? Because it's not just Lee Westwood. Loads of players are now offering those competitions. So they're desperate to get people in. It looks like a reasonable set of events for the fans there. If you go onto their website, there's quite a lot going on.
There's eight tournaments. I think there's this one. There's one in Saudi. There's one in Thailand, and the rest are in America, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, but the tournament doesn't start till 2 p.m. Yeah, gates open at 11 a.m. There's all sorts going on, but all I care about is the punting.
Okay, tell us about the course.
Centurion Club, Hemel Hempstead. There's probably plenty of UK listeners out there that know the course quite well. We're in Hertfordshire, 7,084 yards, par 72, five par fives. Opened in 2013, so quite a new course, and it staged the Golf Sixes on the European Tour. I won't test your memory on that, but in 2017, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I had no interest in that at all. Absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, it's a poor event. 2017 and 2018, there's three players in this field that played in that. We can talk about them later if you want.
All right, then, fine. How many? We already know how many selections. It's three, isn't it?
You've got three by three.
Surely they're not all English, are they?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
We've had three Canadians in the Canada event, three Swedes in the Swedish event, and we've got three players in the English event, but they're all from different parts of the globe, are they?
Yeah, no Englishmen, I'm afraid.
Coming in, who's the headline?
Justin Harding, 22-1. Everyone's going five each way places for this. Seven-time champion on the Sunshine Tour, two-time champion on the Asian Tour, two-time champion on the DP World Tour. We've got a proven winner here. You go into this event with no fear. It's a great opportunity for a 36-year-old to, take his bank balance to a new level. you know, this Live Tour has attracted the 30-somethings for obvious reasons. And this is a virtual home game for Justin Harden. He's a South African, but he lives in Surrey. He fell in love with Leah Totten in 2019. Do you remember her? She won The Apprentice in 2013, I believe. Justin Harden.
I'll just quickly Google her while you are doing that.
I think you'd remember Leah Totten. Striking blonde who won The Apprentice in 2013. And they live together 30 minutes from Heathrow. So Harding's got a fantastic base to work from, close to Heathrow Airport, plays out of the Wisley Club. So it's a short drive to Centurion for Justin Harding, and he's in great form. There was an Asian Tour event in Slaley Hall last week, the first Asian Tour event in England. They played at Slaley Hall last week. Ideal warm-up event up in Hexham for Justin Harding. He finished fourth in that. He's having a really solid year. And I think he'll like the weather forecast this week. It's sunny and breezy at Centurion this week. Harding, excellent in the wind. He won the Qatar Masters in Doha in 2019. So, yeah, I think he's going to be taking a big juicy check back to Leah Totten. I know Leah Totten got £250,000 for winning The Apprentice. But Justin Harding could take a $4 million check home to Leah on Saturday.
Tremendous. OK, he's your main fancy. Who else do you like?
Next best is Bernd Wiesberger. It was very easy to back at 20-1. Another 36-year-old. You can understand him taking the money at this stage of his career. But the money on offer this week won't give him the wobbles because he's won two Rolex Series events on the DP World Tour. He's already pretty minted. One of those Rolex Series wins came in Britain. It was the 2019 Scottish Open. He's got a great record in the British Isles. I think he'll take a shine to Centurion. His long game's been really solid lately. I think he'll destroy those five par fives. And I think the career switch is just what Wiesberger needed. He was just drifting along on the DP World Tour. I mean, we were getting bored talking about him as the nominal favourite for these humdrum DP World Tour events. I think he was struggling to get himself fully juiced up for it. He was struggling to get starts on the PGA Tour. I entirely understand why Wiesberger's gone there. I think he'll benefit more than most from the breakaway circuit.
Righty-ho. And finally, who have we got?
Pablo Larrabah. Very easy to back at 33-1. Larrabah clearly hasn't been struggling with his conscience on this man. Yeah, lots of players have been umming and ahhing over whether to join or not. Larrabah has been a Golf Saudi ambassador since July 2020. He's had Golf Saudi emblazoned on his golf bag since July 2020. He was always going to jump ship from the DP World Tour. And he must be thrilled with the way he signed off from that circuit. He's won twice this year and he's got his first victory in Spain. So I think, beautiful for him the way he draw a line under the DP World Tour and move on to pastures new. He's 39 years old. He's just seeking the big payday. He enjoys an early retirement now. All three of my selections, good win players. And Larrabah is one of only three players in the field that I mentioned who've got competitive course experience at Centurion. He played for Spain in the Golf Sixes. So, yeah, I think he can hit the ground running.
Oh, there was a blood-curdling scream in the background at that point.
I do apologise. Yeah, it looks like Tommy's seeking entrance again. Yeah, he's done that once before, and I don't know what's going on there. But maybe he's anti the Saudi inventory.
Crumbs.
Doesn't want me covering this. But I'm all for it as a punter. I'll explain that to him later.
Okay, jolly good. Right then. Should we recap?
We should. Wait, do you want to discuss Dustin Johnson?
Discuss Dustin Johnson. I mean, 7-2, is that a take it or leave it, a terrible price, or did you think, he could absolutely obliterate this field?
I thought there'd be too much going on between the ears. You know, he's by far and away the big catch, isn't he, for Greg
Norman? He doesn't care. I don't know.
I think the Saudis are going to want a bang for their buck, as they say. I think he's going to have a lot of duties. You know, they're not just going to, because it's not just the prize money that they're offering him. He's signed on with a big, big fee by all accounts. So I think he's going to have a lot of off-course duties. Promotion will be his main role this week. I just think he might find it a little bit frazzled. I know what you're saying about DJ Carefree. But there must be a little seed in his head thinking, I've left all my Ryder Cup colleagues behind. If the Live Tour goes bust in a year or so, then how's he going to, his reputation has been affected. I don't know. I think there's a lot going on in his head for a 4-1 chance.
Okay, fair enough. Righty-ho, let us recap then. So Steve's got three selections in each of the tournaments this week. We'll start with the Canadian Open.
Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin.
The Scandinavian Mixed,
Alexander Bjork, Sebastian Soderberg, and Marcus Kinholt.
And the Live Golf International.
Invitational. Justin Harding, Bernd Wiesberger, and Pablo Larrabe.
Rightio. And if you're only going to have one bet this week, what would it be, Steve?
It would be the Corey Connors, Alexander Bjork, Justin Harding, each way treble. And these are the opportunities that are going to be presented to us now and eight times this year.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, it's quite exciting, actually, isn't it? Because, I mean, with those, you know, you do that for 50p each way. It comes to absolute fortunes, doesn't it? It's better than a lottery ticket, isn't it?
Yeah, you can win more than the winner of the Live Golf Invitational London.
Yeah, fantastic. Excellent. Okay, mate, next week, we've got a good sweet spot, haven't we? It's the US Open, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Third major of the year. No, we're looking forward to that one.
So you'll have your head down doing your player-by-player profiles for that, will you?
Yes. I won't get disturbances like that. They're all going off to Brighton for 3 days, I believe. Head down for the player guide. Yeah, US Open player guide.
And nothing exciting. You know, after the heady heights of the Killers, Blossoms, and playing golf at Wentworth with Wayne Mardle, it's just back to the grindstone, is it?
It is. But don't worry now. I'm fully focused, refreshed, and bang up for it.
Lovely. And we'll give a very early shout out as well to Sunday week's Sweet Spot Live, where Steve and I, plus assorted guests, will be taking you through the final round at, where are we? It's not Southern Hills, is it? I can't remember.
Brookline, aren't we? We're at Brookline.
Brookline, Massachusetts. Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
So that was the scene of the famous epic green invasion, wasn't it, by Justin Leonard and various others.
It was. We don't like to talk about it, do we?
Water under the bridge. All right then, hopefully you can join us next Tuesday for our Sweet Spot US Open special Sunday week Sweet Spot Live. In the meantime, have fun, bet successfully, bet responsibly. We're back next week.